Grab my coffee every morning. I answer emails when I get them. I own a condo with a mortgage. I am an adult, I am an adult. I have a boyfriend and a pussycat. I have some nieces and some nephews. I have three alcoholic brothers. I am an adult, I am an adult.
Hey there, and welcome to Drunk Disagree Presents, the dark ride of fun theme parks theme podcast with zero prizes and lots of drinking. If you're a returning listener, thank you so much for coming back. We totes preach you. If you're new here, well, welcome. My name is Adrian. I'm here with my co-host, Ryan. We are two people who love all things theme parks and started this podcast so we can drink all about them with fellow theme parks loving fans. Just like you, if you've listened to this show before, you might say that it's hosted by a couple of Disney adults. And you might be right. But what exactly is a Disney adult, really, and how does one become one? Practices associated with the Disney adult phenomenon date back to the 1990s, where the senior director of XX Artists identified Tumblr as the origin of the Disney adult fandom. Internet definitions of a Disney adult run the gamut, leading to a whole culture that is largely misunderstood. And we want to understand it, so that's what we're doing here in this once-a-month series we call Unpacking Disney, a Disney Adult Deep Dive, where in each episode we're going to interview someone people might consider a Disney adult and find out what keeps them coming back to the magic. Are you excited to find out who we'll be unpacking Disney with today? Well, stick around and we'll be right back.
Whoa, we're here.
I love that cheeky music.
Oh, it's so cheeky.
It is. So, Ryan, today we have a new guest to the pod. Yeah, you can't help yourself. Today we have a new guest to the pod. She's a late-stage Disney adult, which we think is an interesting contrast to the both of us. And previous deep dive guests who have all been lifelong Disney park goers. In a very short time, she has grown immensely in the Disney social media sphere, amassing 35,000 followers on TikTok.
Oh, that's 16, a lot more than my 35.
Yeah, 16,000 subscribers on YouTube and 11,000 followers on Instagram. Truly impressive and a testament to what you can accomplish when you invite the world to experience the magic with you.
Totally.
Please welcome the absolutely delightful Demi, also known as Magical Hijinks. Hi, Demi.
What's up, my dudes?
So how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on the pod and in studio.
Yeah, she's our first in-studio guest.
It's so exciting.
It is exciting. It you know,
I feel real right now. We do exist. We're really here. There's cookies on the table.
Yeah, there's cookies on the table. We really got nervous. We were like, we're having a guest. we bought the wrong drinks, but we have treats. I just actually saw Demi in Disney World. Yeah. We live in the same city, but we officially met in Disney World, as you do when you're in the community.
Yeah, we literally live probably like 20 minutes away from each other.
And yet, we met 1,000 miles away from here.
It's okay. I literally see so many people in Disney. Like, I see my cousin in Disney more than I do at home.
Yeah.
It's just it's more exciting to see the people you know there, I guess.
When I was younger and we would go to Disney, every single time we went, we would run into a neighbor.
Oh, yeah.
One of the kids my brother went to school with, family. It was always running into somebody in Disney World.
It's one of those weird things, like, when we were younger, like, you would plan a Disney trip, but then, like, you know, 15 other families that you knew were also planning a Disney trip for them. Then you're like, okay, well, we'll do dinner together. We'll do this together.
Yeah,
we'll go
to
this park together. And then it felt like you were on, like, a group trip, but you weren't. It was just just spring break. Everybody happened to be going down.
Right, because everyone was off.
Yeah.
So Demi, though, you are not someone who went as a child to Disney, you did once.
I did once when I was 3 and a half, 4.
Okay.
So I don't really remember besides the few pictures that I have.
Right.
But it's not the same of like going every year.
I don't remember one thing from when I was 3.
No.
Not a thing.
Mm-mm. And I was so afraid of characters, like any type of like place that had furry characters. I
still
hated
am.
It.
I'm a little furry.
It was petrified. Awful. Petrified, absolutely. I had to like leave birthday parties because I would scream and cry.
Yeah.
So Disney, like The one thing I do remember is being very afraid everywhere I walked.
So you didn't have a desire to go as a child?
Well, not that I could. No, I guess no. Like, you know, we went once, and according to my mother, you know, I was so obsessed with, you know, Disney movies. And I think what it really was that finally, I don't even know how she did it. You know, I was raised by a single mom, and nowadays there would be no way of like affording that. Somehow she pulled it off and took me. And I really think it was, do you guys remember all those incredible Disney commercials in the 90s?
Oh, yeah.
Brian McKnight, yeah. Remember the magic?
I mean, all of it.
I wish I had it queued up right now.
I was just thinking about so that song good. Recently. Like that's the whole experience, is the commercials.
The one with the little girl waking up and she says, it's Goofy.
Yes.
Like so somehow my young butt, I guess, convinced my mom, but I don't remember that, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad that I have some pictures and, you know, have a little bit of a fuzzy memory, but it wasn't, you know, that was it. And I never thought, like, it never even occurred to me that it was still kind of even there.
Right.
Yeah, out of sight, out of mind, you know, like, it's not for your demographic anymore, so, like, why would I do that? That's for kids, all that kind of stuff, like, goes through your head whenever you... you know, see a commercial for it or see, you know, like an ad on the subway or whatever it is.
But
you know?
I feel like I never saw any more like ads after after those really great 90s commercials. Like, I feel like I don't remember seeing many ads for it.
I think they're targeted. Like, you probably like stopped watching cartoons.
I started watching South Park at a really young age, inappropriately young age.
No, they're definitely not advertising. It's not the right demographic for the Disney crowd. No. I remember that commercial with the Mickey hot air balloon and being like thinking, oh, yes, that was just like kind of around.
Yeah, where's that fucking
who
thing?
Knows? I think it's AI.
Bring it back.
Was it ever there?
I don't know, but shouldn't that be the thing at Disney Springs that lifts you up in the air?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not the doing? Thing that's there that has nothing to do with Disney. Anyway, so we're going to get into you as a Disney adult, but first I want to ask you, how do you go from not going since you're three to going and then deciding, you know what? Not only am I going to go,
but I'm into it.
But like, I'm into it, and I'm going to make a YouTube, a TikTok, and an Instagram channel dedicated to it.
You know, it's such a funny story, and it's. I really like have to. It's funny to admit this. It's really all because of my aunt. I started dating I'm going to let her hear this and she's going to laugh because
hello, Auntie,
my Aunt Arlene, such a character. And, if it wasn't for her, I would have never gotten to Disney, back in 2016 when I went for the first time with my then boyfriend, now husband. We were dating not even a year, and at the time, his grandparents lived in Florida, and my aunt and uncle had moved to Florida, and so we decided to do, like, a trip to see them. And when we were discussing doing the trip, my aunt happened to mention, it's funny, like, she actually mentioned that I always wanted to go to Harry Potter World in Universal.
Mm.
That's what she said. So
which is dope.
Which is amazing, and I'm also a Universal girly.
Like, yeah.
I love Disney Universal.
Yeah.
And I do lots of Universal content because it's so great.
You do a lot of really great Universal content.
It's such
content.
A different vibe. It's so great. Like, but
Adrian? It's really great, and maybe you should go sometime.
I'll take Demi's advice on that over yours.
Okay. Well,
I'll take you to the best tapas and rum bar that ever existed.
I didn't even know there was one.
Oh, I'll take you there.
You think you can go to Universal and not drink? Good try.
Literally, it's a very adult like place.
Yeah.
So but that's why like you get different things from different parks. But anyway, so she mentioned that, and so when we were talking about it, you know, we did 2 days there, and I said I want to do one day in Magic Kingdom, and that's literally all we did. We did 2 days in Universal. We did one day in Magic Kingdom in the dead of summer. It was so awful, and I got to Disney. And unlike Universal, where you can kind of just go in and figure things out on your own, there was so much that we had no idea about Disney. We could not just walk in blind.
No.
And we did no preparation, no research. Couldn't even get, like, a reservation. We didn't know that you needed to get reservations. We didn't really understand FastPass at the time.
This is, you said 2016?
2016.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so we had the day. We still had a great time. And at that point, we left there, and I thought, that was great. I want to know everything about this place. I don't want to make, I want to come back here and I never want to make another mistake again. And so from 2016 to 2019, I just became obsessed. Something clicked and I watched like all the videos, read all the articles, and just understood what was going on in the parks, what people found popular, found like the best snacks. And, you know, I just did so much research. And then I went in 2019 again. It was actually super last minute decided, but it was my 25th birthday in December. And we planned it out like within a month. And we were married. It was just about a year, so we took it as like an anniversary trip. Mm-hmm.
And so was your husband falling down the rabbit hole at the same time as you? Or
no. Yeah, I asked Demi about this. I'm like,
so what did he think about not so much like the wanting to go, because like that's like, you know, pretty like normal, but like the deep dive that you're doing in the background after going for one day,
you know, like,
which is kind of incredible, like leap to take, you know, because I am. So infatuated with like the history and with like all the oddity and like the weirdness that surrounds Disney. It's like what keeps me, like, there's so much information to find, and like you can look at it from so many different angles that like there's always something entertaining and like weird to find out about. So I totally understand the deep dive, but as an onlooker, I like my roommates and friends, girlfriends, they've looked at me like I've got seven heads.
Yeah. No, my husband well, he'll claim that he doesn't really enjoy going to the parks. But then when he's there, he has the best time. He's a liar. Yeah. I literally actually said that to his face yesterday. And, you know, but at the time, this was before, like, you know, I obviously go all the time now, but, you know, there was still so much we never experienced. Like, we never been to Epcot. You know, we never went to Hollywood Studios, and it just so happened that was when Galaxy's Edge was opening, and we ended up going in 2019, 2 weeks after Rise of the Resistance opened, and we had, like, no spoilers. And so when we got on the attraction, it was, like, the greatest thing we've ever experienced. It truly was one of the most magical, and I'm so grateful that that I was not on TikTok back then, even if there was even TikTok, because I would have had spoilers immediately when those, you know, the ship doors open. It was such an amazing feeling. So at that time, there was stuff that,
you didn't even know about, like, the Stormtrooper room.
No. We had no spoilers. It was 2 weeks. We were so lucky that we did that. And that was the time when we had to get there at, like, 5 a.m. to make sure that we can get on. It was crazy. And it was, like, pouring rain. It was such a crazy day. And so at that point, I, like, was such a Disney expert. I was watching things all the time, but he didn't watch that with me. He does like Defunct Land, which is great.
Yes, they love, fantastic. Shout out to Defunct Land. Yeah, super Defunct super Land good really content. Good.
I left that trip with the Disney Blues, and I said to myself, I want to come back here a lot. I have to figure a way how to come back here a lot. I love this place. I want to be here.
Gets its hooks in you.
For real.
A few months later, I don't know if you guys know about this, but there was this like global shutdown.
I think I heard mumblings about that.
Yeah.
I was living in Iraq. So what?
In Iraq or in Iraq?
In a rock.
Under.
Oh, okay. No. Oh. Inside.
Inside.
Yeah. Flintstone style. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so the world shut down, and in the real world, I work in theater in New York City. And we obviously shut down.
Dark.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And had no plans of reopening. You know, we were just like sitting, you know, waiting there. Like, first it was like, oh, well, you know, 2 weeks. And then it wasn't, you know. So I decided to first start this channel doing, it's so funny looking back at it now. I started my channel by making Disney Parks food at home in like the Tasty Style overhead videos on YouTube, and they weren't even the right format. It was before like YouTube Shorts. It was before like I even knew what TikTok was, and I was doing it first in vertical, and it was the wrong format. It was such a disaster. But it eventually was picking up. I got like subscribers, and then they announced the reopening of Walt Disney World. And I said to my husband, like, I think I want to go. Like, that's the words I said. I think I want to go. And he was so supportive, and the style of and the format of my channel changed, and I can't watch those videos. Looking back at them now, they're so rough, but I went, I covered the reopening. I flew with like a real N95 mask and a face shield and all the wipes, and I distanced myself for 2 weeks. Like, it was a lot to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, luckily everything was fine. It was so empty. It was really one of the most incredible experiences.
Yeah. The park. The empty parks were elite.
I never got to experience it.
It was like dystopian, but it was pretty amazing.
It was it's weird to say I missed the time when the parks were empty, because it was a terrible time in the real world. So I started covering the reopenings, and then I started expanding and doing like other parks as well, and you know, started especially covering Universal, and I did reopenings of other parks, and I just kept going. And now,
did you teach yourself how to edit and do all that stuff?
The first few, that's why I'm saying the first few aren't like my best, but like I actually had like pretty easy time with it. Surprisingly, I watched a lot of YouTube videos. I still, to this day, if I don't know how to do a thing, I just put on a YouTube video and show.
I mean, that's the thing, right? There's always a tutorial somewhere. Some of my favorite, and when I got to know you on TikTok, was you would post things where you were in the airport all night long editing, because there were times where you wouldn't get a hotel room.
Yeah.
And she would literally be like in the hotel room, in the airport overnight till her flight, like editing all night long.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is an interesting person.
I think the first time that ever happened was I was covering Universal Mardi Gras, and I really wanted to make sure that I covered everything, because I was doing guide to Mardi Gras, and I flew in that morning and wanted to fly home immediately, because it would save on staying at a hotel, and I'm always, you know, trying to save money. You know, I still do that. I still do this day. I would do it. Say I did last for Universal Holidays. I flew in, day out. But unfortunately, at the time, there was no really late flight. So what I did was I got to the airport and I took the first flight out in the morning, which was like 6 a.m. So I knew I was going to be up all night editing anyway, because whenever I do a guide or like a festival video, Halloween party or holidays, I stay up all night so that it's out in the morning, so people can, you know what's going on at those events. So I was like, I'm not going to waste spending on a hotel. I'll just go there. I'm from New York. I rough it out pretty, a lot. And you know, it was fine. Like, you know, once you're through the gates and you know you're in a secure place, and I worked all night and I got on the plane and got my video out, and like I'll still do that every now and then. But I mean, it's a lot, but I love adventure. I'm like the person that's like, I'm down for anything. Like,
I think that's like that's the side of the content creation that like people don't really see. Like, they like, it's not magic that these videos come together and are edited work. Well,
yeah,
it's a ton of work. Like, the thought creation behind the stuff that you're doing, it's a ton of work to like pre-plan this stuff. It's a ton of work to get down. I mean, like, you know, especially if you're not from in-state or not local, like you have to plan you're getting down there, all your transportation there, coming back, and then to be able to like get a video out like on time so that you don't miss like the wave of people that are looking for that video, it's an immense amount of like pressure behind it as well. So
yeah, and like to it, like always, no matter what I do, I swear I'm like cursed. Anytime I need to do a video where I have to get it out the next morning, there's always some sort of problem too. Like you work through it, you grind your teeth, and it's a lot of work. But yet the pre-planning, a lot of people don't realize sometimes, depending on what the video is, how much producing goes into what you want to do. And I'm filming, I'm like editing it in my brain. So like I record it how I would want to see it done. So it's a lot to do, but I love it. I love having this creative outlet, and and to be able to help people. It like checks all those boxes that I am as a person, of like being able to be creative and helping people. It's so meaningful how like the comments I get of like, you know, I love obviously hearing a comment that they like the video, but I I just cherish the ones where people said, like, you helped me so much on my trip. Like, those just make me so happy because I just, I want, the reason I started the channel was I don't want what happened to me in 2016 to happen to anybody else.
Yeah, totally.
And your videos are, you guys got to check out her channels. Like I said, Magical Hijinks, super informative. And as you can see, super timely. And Demi is on it. She's flying down for the big things. Were you inspired by any, like, how did, when you were you watching YouTube and you were like, you know, this is sort of the vibe I want to go for, or, you know?
You know, I wasn't really watching people. I was really watching, like DFB, like, just to know the information of stuff
right
at the time. And so
back then they had, like, such fantastic information, too. Like,
yeah, for sure. I learned a lot from them and from reading lots of, you know, things from people. But I didn't really watch
Disney,
like,
food blog for
Disney,
people not in the know.
So I didn't really watch a lot of people though. So, and I, you know, it's funny because, like, the people, like, will mention to me, oh, like, you know, like, especially when now I know a lot of people from just being in the community, but, you know, people will be like, oh, do you don't know so and so? I'm like, nope, never heard of this person. And they're like, the most popular person on, I'm like, that's great for them. I have no idea who they are because I just didn't watch the people. I wanted to know the info. I didn't really, just, that was just my interest. And I, you know, I wanted to know what was going on mostly. So, no, that's why it took me a minute to, like, find my rhythm. Like, those first videos, like I said, are rough. Like, I don't, you know, it's also like, you know, you're so stiff and you're trying to find, like, you know, a voice where you sound clear, but you don't sound like a robot. And
yeah, I mean, that's the same with our podcast. I have a hard time listening to the first year because I'm like, you know, you're in your head a little bit. You're formulaic. Yeah. You're, and it takes you a minute to be like, okay, I can just sort of, like, you know, relax my shoulders and just, you
know. Then it gets better and better because people actually like the way that you are.
Yeah. I mean, even,
which is, like, hard to come, you know, like, it's hard to come to terms with too, that, like, you know, like, people coming up to you and saying, like, oh, you made me, like, it's amazingly comforting and, like, it makes you feel, like, really good about, like, the product that you're putting out. But it's also, like, weird, like, it's like a little bit heavy, like, where they're like, you helped me get through, like, a rough time, and you're like, well, what if I didn't? You're like, what if I wasn't there?
Those, especially during, like, COVID, like, I, you know, it felt really great to be able to bring that joy to a lot of people. And you know, it was hard and still is hard, but it's so rewarding, and I love it. And it's just, it all started on a trip that went wrong, kind of, you know, and I wanted to not let that happen to anybody else.
That's awesome. One of the, before we get into your questions, one of the challenges that I find being a Disney creator is, in this specific niche, is the, you know, need to the feeling of, like, am I being too negative? Am I being too positive?
Yeah.
How do you deal with that?
You know, that's such a great point. And I think you and I can kind of understand, as a New Yorker, it's not that we have a negative, like, look on things, but we have a very blunt and honest look on things. And about my channel is, I'm always honest. And that's, like, my number one comment is, like, I so appreciate your honesty. So for me, the biggest challenge, if there is something I don't like, I don't want to be negative. I want to be honest. So I always try to find that balance. And it's sometimes, depending on what's going on, it could be hard. But I don't really appreciate people just being outright hateful, because just because something maybe isn't to your liking, you can find positives in certain things. Like, I recently did a video on the Mexico pyramid, the one inside the restaurant inside the pyramid,
San Angel Hill,
yeah. And my whole outro is like, here are the positives, and I said the positives, and then I listed all the reasons why I'm not going to return to that restaurant. And I would, well, I prefer La Hacienda across the way. It's a third party and more authentic, and you get fireworks views, and the food is a little better.
And you know what? Different strokes for different folks.
I think
that's the thing that, like, is, like, you know, we do a lot of restaurant reviews here on the show, and we'll bring in, like, reviews from the internet, because we're like, everyone.
Yeah, you got to see all sides.
You got to see all sides. It's very hard, but like some people will love something, some people won't. But yeah, it's a weird thing because you know immediately if you say like I just posted a video, I didn't love my flower and garden food.
Yeah,
and some people were like, "Well, you ate the wrong things. You did this," and it's like. You know, you're being negative, and it's like, this is just my experience.
Right, and I think that's hard for people in this community sometimes to understand that something that, a comment that I'll get every once in a while is like, why are you negative? Or like, and I truly don't think I am, because I'm actively thinking about like, make sure you're not negative, but honest. And some people really just want that like, toxic positivity.
Yeah.
Person, and you know,
but they can go someplace else for it. That's the way I look at it.
And that's what I always say. You know, people always talk about to me, like, how do you like survive in this very oversaturated space? And first, when I first started, it wasn't very oversaturated, but what I say to people, and I truly believe this, is there is a creator or multiple creators for every person,
there's a butt for every seat,
exactly. Yep. And I really think that, you know. And just like as a person in general, I'm not for everyone, and that's fine. And some people, you know, enjoy my content, and I appreciate those people. And you know, we're here for the ride. You know, I try to be honest, and I try to always do the best I can do, and you know, also have the most fun possible. You know, so that's just kind of my vibe. I bring a lot of that New Yorkness to my videos,
and that's why we like you, Demi.
Aww.
And I think when we go through these questions, it's super cool. If you guys follow Demi and you follow her YouTube or you follow her channel, it's like, you know, she hasn't been going for 30 years. So you're discovering the magic with you. And I think that's a cool thing.
That's a really incredible, thing that you have going for you that like others don't. Like you, I mean, now probably there's like, not very few experiences you haven't had, right? But like, if they follow your past, like they're seeing things through your eyes as a first timer.
Yeah. And I never came across as saying like, I'm an expert, like coming in blind. And unfortunately there are people that will like do that. And I remember like when I got there for the first time and I got my annual pass and when I went down for the reopenings and I got my annual pass and I walked over to the Polynesian and I like cried seeing that in real life and in person and got like my first Dole Whip, you know, it was amazing. And I never released it. It was a day when I was like trying out how to film. It was like a practice day and I put it on Patreon, I think, for them to see that. Cause it was just, it was never going to be like a real video. But yeah, I had to go through a lot of learning and a lot of food. Tried a lot, still to this day. I've eaten so much Disney food. it's like ridiculous. But you know, it comes with the experience. If that's makes it's a redundant saying, but like you know, and it was fun to be able to have that discovery. Honestly.
Yeah, and you have this sort of diary of you discovering Disney World.
Yeah, like that's like one of my favorite things about making the videos. It's like they're all really like they're all like themed to whatever they're about, but it is basically watching my life and seeing how I found this park and found my love for it. It really kind of that's really what it is, and
yeah,
it's wonderful to look back on some of the old stuff and be like, oh. My gosh, remember the first time I went to an All-Star? First time I went to French Quarter. Oh, I got a beignet. It was so great, you know.
I love it. So, now you guys know who Demi is, but let's go deeper.
Oh, okay.
Deeper.
You ready, Demi?
I'm ready.
Cheeky little music here. So we're going to ask Demi some questions. The first ones are going to kind of understand her Disney adultdom. And there's about 10 questions there. And then after that, we're going to move into the Tomorrowland Rapid Speedway round. But let's start at the start. You kind of answered this, but I'm more interested in the in the second part of it. How old were you when you first visited a Disney theme park? And what, if anything, do you remember from that experience?
So it was like 3.5 or 4. And the one thing I remember is being at Cinderella's Royal Table and Peter Pan being mean to me. I remember it. And I recently covered Cinderella's Royal Table. I know.
What a bastard.
Last year. And I remembered that. And I like texted my mom while I was there. I was like, I'm not kidding. Like, I'm not crazy, right? Like, Peter Pan was here. And because now it's like all princesses.
Yeah, that's why it's princesses only now. They kicked Peter out.
And I mentioned it in my video. And I was like, please, if you remember Peter Pan being here, please come. And I was right. It wasn't a made up memory. And so I remember that. And that's kind of really it. And, you know, I have some pictures. Young. I remember my cousin met us because she lives in Florida. And I remember going back during the day and taking a nap with her. That's really all I remember. Like, the rest is like pictures, and you know, they're so great. I have a really great one that I actually just posted today of being at Animal Kingdom with my cousin, and I recreated a picture like I was standing in front of the flagpole, and it was great because at that point Animal Kingdom was only open for like a year because I went in '99, so
yeah,
it was cool.
It's funny, like, the character experiences as a child are such a canon event. And, I have a, you know, bad experience with Goofy as a child.
Oh, my God.
Amazing experiences as an adult. It probably was somewhat in my head, but it's interesting that was your, like, thing that you remember. It's like, you can see the pressure that those characters have to make sure that those kids have a good experience.
I'm sure he wasn't actually mean to me.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think mine was either.
He
but
probably was just, like... Like giving, like being snarky as
being,
Peter Pan.
Doing yeah,
being
doing
Peter.
Shtick, you know? Yeah. But to me, I remember it in my brain. He was being mean to me and I didn't like him.
Since then, how many times do you think you've been in a Disney park in total days? So it'd be like under 50, under 100, under 500, or over 500?
Oh God, I don't. I mean, I'll say. I don't know. Is it over 100? It could be at this point. I don't know. Been doing.
Yeah, you're probably around 100.
Probably around 100. I'll say that.
Okay, so you see, you got some experience in there.
Now, yeah, been doing this almost 4 years. In July will be 4 years.
Do you ever feel like you're too old to go to Disney?
No.
Was there ever a time that you did feel old about it or weird about it?
No, never.
Never. Okay. Well, no.
That's really interesting to me because I definitely felt like I was too old, and then I came back around to it. But, like, because you revisited and found your love for it so, like, late in years in comparison, like, you, like, skipped that part of, like, being embarrassed about liking it or anything like that.
Yeah.
You just, like, went right into, like, oh, no,
I'm, like
down, I'm down to like this, yeah. And I'm down to go back and all that.
I didn't even know that it was, like, a weird thing to like going to Disney.
I mean, like, I don't think that either of us like ever felt
until,
like, it was a weird
TikTok
thing.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, and I grew up going to like, my mom is like a big kid. So I always loved theme parks, but we would go to like Playland Park, ride Playland or, we would, our vacation every year was a Comfort Inn with my mother and my grandparents in one room because we were very poor at, Atlantic City. And so we had the steel pier there and the beach, but, we'd go to Adventureland out in Long Island. Like I just always had a love for theme parks. So that's, you know, it never even occurred to me that like Disney is not like for
everybody.
Yeah.
I grew up right by Adventureland on Long Island.
I want to go back there.
It's such a roadside, like just permanent carnival.
Yeah.
Do you identify as a Disney adult?
Sure. Yeah. Why not?
What is your definition of a Disney adult?
Someone that likes to have fun, or just like someone who, you know, it's hard to define. You know, every fandom has you know, the reason there are fandoms is to escape reality, and I think that this particular fandom's escaped reality is just really awesome. We're in a very themed place with, you know, lots of stimulation, rides, good food, good drinks, happy environment. And that, if that appeals to you, then you may be a Disney adult.
It's funny because you're right. This escape from reality is literally a place that you can go and escape from reality.
Yeah, I literally just walked past a bunch of Knicks fans waiting to get into MSG, and it's like they're all wearing their little costumes, their basketball bounding costumes, and they're super excited. And I'm super excited basketball for them. Bound.
I'm super excited for them too. They're having a good time.
Having a great time doing what they enjoy, and they're escaping their reality. So.
I think you're right on. I've always said that like Disney adultdom and sports fandom are like of the same ilk. You know, like they're fervent fans. They know like all of the minutia, all the details, all the stats.
They spend a ton of money on it. The hot dog costs the same at the stadium as it does at Disney World.
Yeah. They're willing to like deal with high prices. They're willing to travel for it, all this kind of stuff.
They watch it every night, possibly. Yep. Like that's their version of Disney YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I mean like I've always said that they're, you know, in a different world, I could be a giant sports fan. And in a different world, like, there's literally one of them could be a Disney adult.
Fantasy teams.
Yeah, they're called fantasy.
They're called fantasy. So you can't be mad at me for going to fantasy land if you're going to play fantasy football.
It's very true.
Yeah.
Are you a proud Disney adult or is it something you keep hidden?
I mean, I don't think it's possible to keep it hidden for me. No, always been very proud. I even went to when I got married, my husband and I went to Paris for our honeymoon, and then the last 3 days we got to go to Disneyland Paris.
How about like your non Disney friends? Like, how do you chat with them about it? Because it is kind of like,
well, you know, we don't really talk about it that much, but they'll ask me about like what I'm up to, because now it's like a huge part of my life. It's you know, like it's like 75% my job now, you know, and 25% is in theater, which is really, I'm really happy that that's been what it is. I get to focus a lot on the channel. And so obviously it's a big part of my life. So like they're my friends and they're interested in me and my life. So they'll ask about it, but you know, I have different friends and I also have different interests. I don't have just, you know, theme parks and Disney is, it's a huge interest, obviously, but I have my theater friends, I have my guy friends, and we'll talk about nothing. We'll talk about movies. We'll talk about, you know, it's really what it is. I actually feel like I don't have many, you know, when I obviously have Disney friends and whatever, but like my main people that I've known for years, you know, they're not like me.
Yeah, sure.
It's hard to find. I mean, that's how Ryan and I became friends. We didn't have other friends in our lives that were Disney adults.
Yeah.
And we started this podcast before I did TikTok. So I didn't, literally it was Ryan and my sister who were my Disney friends. And so it's hard to.
Yeah. I overheard her talking to one of our bosses who she had just come back from a trip. And I guess he kind of likes it.
He's got a bunch of kids and stuff.
So, yeah. You know, they had gone a bunch and he was like, oh, did you have a great time at Disney? And I cut my ear perked up.
His ear perked up.
He's like, and then like, I don't think I had talked to her yet.
Yeah.
Other than a brief, oh, do you have this, TPS report thing? or something like that. And, you know, went up to her and I was like, do you like Disney too?
I mean, literally, that's what happened. He was like, "Do you like Disney?" Because I like it. Was like a revealing aspect.
And then we would like meet up to like
just talk about Disney. I'm like, oh, guess what? Now I got someone to chew their ear off.
Well, I will say I've met so many people in this community. I've made some of the best friends I've ever had that I see only in Florida.
Me too. It's amazing.
You know? Yeah. I mean, and it's all thanks to Disney and TikTok, Instagram, and the whole community, and YouTube. I've met like two of my best friends that we have a group chat and we're texting all the time. And it's so wonderful to, that's to me, that is like the biggest gift from all of this. Like, even if everything went away, like if everything went away right now, I would still have those friendships. And that is just really means the world to me.
I love that. Totally, same. Totally. I, you know, I've, it's like now I have this new crew of people on speed dial, and that's the biggest gift. So you've never been a cast member.
No.
If you could be a cast member, what would be your, what would you want to be? What would be your dream role?
I've thought about this so often. So in theater, I'm a stage manager, And I would love to stage manage for the first time in forever a Frozen sing-along.
Oh, you'd be fantastic at that.
I mean, cool. I love that show. I love those performers. They do an incredible job. They do not get enough credit. And it's in air conditioning. I would not survive outside. Like, I don't know how,
no, I don't know how they do it.
But that would be, like, I would love to work there in, like, a theatrical aspect. And that would be my show of choice, for sure. And then I guess backup would be the Beauty and the Beast show. I always make sure to sit behind the stage manager booth and I watch them call the show.
That's you like geek out on that. I love it.
We haven't had that yet.
We've had four deep dives and everyone's given a different role and I love it because it all fits their personality. So.
Yeah.
Well, what would you choose?
I would choose Haunted Mansion. I'd want to do Tower of Terror, Haunted Mansion. Because I want to do something where I could be surly.
Yeah, I love that because those are two of my favorite rides of all time.
So. But I feel like I would enjoy the Haunted Mansion costume better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd be a good bellhop, but I think I could do the Haunted Mansion. And then Ryan, what did
you... I mean, like an Imagineer is like, you know, the...
Yeah, he's basically an Imagineer in his life, but not for Disney.
Yeah, but not for Disney. Not for anything fun or creative.
New York City subway system.
You sound like pretty cool.
My husband's an electrical engineer, and like he designs like hospitals. And I was like, why don't you just go be an Imagineer? He's like, no, he would love it too. I know he would, but like, what you said sounds exactly like what he always says.
Yeah. So I think like ride op wise, I would like to do Jungle Cruise. I think that would be
fun. I'd love to be a skipper, except it's really hot.
And then Mike Molinari said he would want to operate the monorail.
Yeah, that's true. Such a good monorail operator in his little outfit. Yeah.
I said that he would make a great hotel manager at G-Flow.
Oh, yeah. The bouge would come out.
The bouge.
The Club 33 hat.
Yes.
Yeah, I hate that stuff.
The doorman for Club 33. He would also do well at that.
He got that Club 33 hat on me for a second last, and I was like, ah! And he's like, no, take it off. How do you feel about the way that Disney adults are portrayed in media and pop culture, and do you think it's an accurate representation?
No, it's not accurate. I mean, I don't really listen to it or care what people have to say. I think that's one of the things about being on the internet for now almost 4 years is like you really learn to not listen to people or care about what people think if you do. And it's something that it took a really long time. Like I was always a very sensitive person. I could still be very sensitive. But the internet's going to always internet.
Yeah, it's going to internet.
And you got to drown out the noise. Cause like you said, like there's fandoms for everyone and it's fine to like your fandom. And I'm happy if you like your fandom. And if I don't like it, that's fine. But I'm happy you do.
Yeah. A lot of people like to yuck the yum of Disney adults specifically. But I think it's jealousy.
Yeah. I mean.
I think that it's getting a little bit better.
Yeah.
I'm not hearing it as much.
We might be over the curve.
Yeah, I think we might be over the curve.
I think, like, you take any person who's ever like made fun of a Disney adult and you just take them on like a perfect Disney day, they're going to change their mind immediately.
Ryan always says that. Ryan's always like, get them there.
Give me a chance.
Even if they don't want like that magical, like Magic Kingdom experience, like there's adult experiences, like adult only experience, or just like, you don't think it's fun to go drinking around the world.
Yeah.
That's not fun to you. And I think it's also really funny that nobody really ever talks about this part of it is that you're in such a safe environment.
Mm-hmm.
You're through security. Like, you know, you don't have to like worry about any outside nonsense. So to be able to have the security of like just being able to go and drink responsibly around the world. I'm going to say that.
Adrian got accosted 3 times today. Just going to get these cookies.
Yeah. So. I mean, I got grabbed on the subway platform the other week. I got pulled like on my arm. Like, you know, that's just the reality of the world. It's not a pleasant place all the time. So that's why we escape to the places that we find enjoyable.
Totally.
And you being a stage manager, being in theater, like I feel like it's the one place it feels like you're on a set.
Yeah.
Like the whole environment is a set.
It's the reason that everybody works there. It's called the cast member. Right?
And, like, and when you work there, like when I worked there, it was, you're going on stage and like, it's the one place you can feel like, oh, I'm on a set.
Yeah.
Something pretty cool.
Yeah.
Have you personally received any backlash for being a Disney adult? And if so, where does it come from? Like family, friends, the internet, all the above?
no, my family is super supportive. I took a huge chunk of them last year for, I went with my cousin and his wife and their two kids and my aunt and uncle, the same aunt that got me into everything basically. And I gave them the best trip possible. Like if it wasn't for me, they wouldn't have done any research. They would have had a miserable time. It was literally like a year ago.
That's so hard to get across to people. Like, yeah. I met up with a bunch of friends last night, but like we had a guy's night out. We had a bunch of friends from out of town that came in and we started talking. And at one point, my friend was like, yeah, I think we're going to go to Disney, you know, sometime the next year or whatever. I was like, okay, well like, you know, let me know and I'll, you know, help you guys plan it. And he was like, yeah, maybe, you know, like, we probably don't need that. And I was like, well, yeah, but you do. I have a podcast about it, so I think I know what I'm talking about. Like, yeah. So,
the reality will hit. If it's not, if they don't realize it now, they will realize it then.
You know, but the thing is, like, they won't. They'll just be like, oh, this is horrible. Like, why would anybody like this? And it's because you're fucking doing it wrong. That's why you didn't like it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Like, yeah. I
follow Demi and then you'll be okay. Follow Drunk
District. Sometimes, like, even with my own friends who, like, are planning, like, you know, a thing, like, I'm like, I just watch this video that I made all about it. You know what I mean? Sometimes I just do that.
Yeah.
But I am always, like, everybody knows to come to me and listen, that's fine. You know, so I'm always happy to help my friends and family about it. But I've never really gotten backlash for being a Disney adult. No. I mean, obviously, just whatever the internet has to say that I don't care. But no, my friends and family have been super supportive about this.
How do you deal with, like, internet trolls, like, through your commenting and stuff like that? Do you just, like,
you know, what do you do? I will say YouTube is such a great platform. I've really... like very few trolls on there. Watch now, they're all going to come at me.
No, no problem.
But you know, I had actually like recently this week, I've never done this in my life. I turned off the comments on one of my TikTok reels that went, Instagram reels that went viral because it was just,
Instagram's tough. I've learned this.
Different breed.
That's where I get my, you know, death threats.
Yeah.
Is Instagram.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. It was like getting, it was the video of me like in the Fearless River at Volcano Bay. And like, it was just like, I was joking. It was, you know, and like, it was just like me like drowning in the river and not really drowning. I was just like saying, wow, this is a really like, you know, I don't think they got that it wasn't a lazy river. And I was just getting like the rudest comments. And I've never really, I mean, I've gotten them occasionally and I just delete them. I'm not going to lie. I delete the comments that, you know, are just rude and I block the people because you know what? That's fine. You do what you need to do to survive the internet. But it got to the point where it was so bad that I just turned them off and I've never done that before and I hated it that it got to that point. But otherwise, like, that's just really what I do. I luckily, like, haven't had too much of the trolling, like, where it's gotten to the point of me being like, you know, that I need to take a break or that I feel like I need to stop. And at the same time, you know, me not caring as much also helps, you know. And so if I don't even see the occasional like bad comment, but when it was like an influx, like it was on that Instagram reel, it was just like, I just didn't want to keep getting those notifications. And I just didn't,
yeah.
I just need
on
to
Instagram.
It
what I did is did you ever put the words?
I just discovered where you can do that. Cause I have that on TikTok.
When I got on the death threats, my friend who's pretty big on Instagram, he told me, he's like, he showed me his list and it was like pages and pages long. And I'm like, I've got to do this because it was pretty, it's pretty, you know what it is? It's the Facebook, the Instagram is the Facebook crowd.
Oh yeah.
It's just all about,
I don't know what's going on over there, but
yeah, it's a tough crowd.
Yeah, it's a very tough crowd.
Is Disney just a place to get a good churro, or does it heal something in you?
Well, Disney World does not have good.
That churro, is true. So, well, metaphorically,
on Main Street, if you go to the Whatchamacallit Lounge in Animal Kingdom, Nomad Lounge, the best churros, or even the ones in Mexico at the quick service.
Those I like the Pecos good. Bill's quick service churros.
Yeah, those are actually pretty good too. Yeah. I like just getting their chips and guac.
Me too. It's a vibe over there.
It is
too.
A vibe. I love Pecos.
Yeah.
Wait, what was your question? I just started talking about food. So,
is Disney just a place to get a good Dole Whip, or does it heal something in you?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not gonna. This Disney does something for everybody, and I definitely feel that magic when I'm there, and it definitely heals a lot of some past trauma. Like, that I didn't have a really easy childhood. It was rough, but you know, I'm blessed for what I had, and I appreciated everything that I had and was able to do, but it was challenging and I didn't have an easy time in school. So, you know, getting this experience of being in a place where it's just kind of taking away all of that awful world stuff and just getting to escape. And, you know, I've worked with so many celebrities in my life and I genuinely don't care. But whenever I see Mickey Mouse, I get butterflies. Like it's so meaningful to have that feeling even now as somebody who's in their last year of their 20s. You know, it's such a beautiful thing to feel like a kid again, because, you know, it's not always sunshine and rainbows when you're a kid. And even if your childhood was sunshine and rainbows, like, it's so nice to just forget about your troubles and being an adult and giving a hug to Mickey.
I love it.
I love that answer.
Yep.
So the last one of this, what keeps you going back to Disney? And what do you think will keep you going if it does?
The Cocoa Puffs cold brew.
Perfect answer. I take full credit for that.
I take full credit for the Black Calf cold brew bring in Walt Disney World, because I made a video about it on TikTok and it went viral, how we didn't have it but Disneyland does, and it was like the exact same setup. And then literally like a month later, it was there. So I don't know if I had anything to do with it, but I still take full credit.
I say you take full credit. There's things that I take. I'm not going to say them on here. I'm not as brazen as you. But there's some things that I take credit for as well. And you know what? I think we're right. I love that. The Black Craft cold brew is fantastic.
Phenomenal.
Well, you survived this round, Demi.
I did.
This round. But let's see what happens during our lightning round. Tomorrowland Rapid Speedway. All right. So, I mean, these are all going to be like two sentence, two word, whatever, like short answers. So, Genie Plus or nah?
Nah.
Agreed. are we going Canada, Mexico, France, or UK for a start?
France.
Oh, all right. Coming through international portal.
Portal?
Gateway.
Gateway. yeah.
I wish, but.
Well, you can always take the Skyliner there. What is your favorite Walt Disney World resort? It's all right. Go with the gut.
You can say a couple.
Yacht Club, Coronado Springs.
Ah, Coronado.
Interesting.
All right.
I love Grandestino Tower.
That's beautiful.
Favorite form of Disney transportation?
Monorail.
Hell yeah.
To cruise or no?
Like a cruise?
Disney cruise?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, into it?
I'm really wearing my Disney Wish.
Oh, yeah.
Right now.
I've never been on one. We're going to have to see. Maybe that.
I've never been on one either.
I went for the first time when I covered the opening of the Wish.
Cool. Oh. And you liked it.
Loved it.
Cool. Which cast member of the Sensational Six do you identify with the most?
Daisy.
Me too. Isn't it weird?
Not at all.
What is a Disney adult activity that does not interest you?
Like, are you into like Loungefly or
bounding? Oh, I don't do pin trading.
Pin trading, same. Cool. Yep, for sure. Which is a bigger crime, wearing Disney clothes to Universal or wearing Universal clothes to Disney?
Oh, they're both equally a crime. I will literally carry extra things with me to make sure if I'm going from one park to the other that I'm not in the same gear.
Are you a bounder?
Sometimes, but not really.
What's your favorite?
I recently just did a Mirabelle bound when I went to the reopening of Magic Kingdom Park Fair.
You're.
I think I saw because
that's
picture
the only character I can kind of look like. With
you
my
really
hair.
Do, yeah.
I like it. Would you ever want to move close to a Disney park? And it could be international. It could be Cali. It could be.
I would like a Disney park to open in New York.
They almost had it.
I know. Thanks a lot. What's that guy's name? Oh, gosh, I just forgot his name. Anyway, go ahead.
I know exactly who you're talking about. It's on the tip of my tongue, too.
He has a highway.
Robert Moses?
Yes, Robert Moses. He's like my enemy.
Yeah, he's everybody's enemy.
He's the reason there's no Disney in New York.
Yeah.
Finish this statement. Adults who cry when they see the castle or meet their favorite costume characters are blank.
Normal and healthy people.
Okay, all right.
Agreed.
Describe your love for Disney in 3 words.
Magical, delicious, emotional.
All right. Delicious. Didn't go to Fire, Flower and Garden Festival.
I did. You didn't see my review then. I was honest in my Flower and Garden reviews and all my festival reviews.
If you knew it was going to be your last 15 minutes that you were ever going to spend in a Disney park, what would you do and how would you savor it?
I would ride Tower of Terror over and over again while also eating a... I need a good snack. What's my last Disney snack? Oh, it's so hard. Corn dog nuggets from Casey's.
Okay. Nice. I like it.
I think you're the first person that didn't end in Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That is...
But Tower of Terror is my favorite ride, so yeah. I love this answer.
Mine too.
That's a good answer. All right. That is our lightning round. Yay. Whoa.
Wow. Survived.
Those are all great answers.
Thank
you.
This is further proof why you should follow Demi. She's with it.
For sure.
Sometimes I'm with it. Sometimes I forget everything.
I think even though you're a late stage Disney adult, you really know and connect with that side of you well. You have a voice, and I think that's awesome.
Thank you.
And I hope, I love these episodes. I love finding what makes Disney adults tick. I know people out there have communicated that you guys are enjoying them, so we're going to keep them coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Demi, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me and in studio.
In studio, our first in studio. It's so exciting.
I feel so honored to be your first in studio guest.
When I knew you were in New York, I was like, would you want to like come to the studio? Like it would all of our guests have been calling, so I was super excited that you were down for it. I think we've thoroughly unpacked Disney with Demi. We want to thank Demi for being on the show. As I mentioned, you can follow her at Magical Hijinks. That's MagicalHijinx on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. She's been on Facebook. So check her out, please, because all of her stuff is phenomenal. I've always loved her content. The Dark Ride podcast presented by Drunk Distery is available every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else podcasts are available. The show is free, but you can pay us by simply liking and subscribing, giving us that 5-star rating review, or just telling a fellow theme parks loving fan to listen. Email us questions or shout outs at drunkdistery@gmail.com. And please follow us on Instagram at The Dark Ride Podcast and TikTok at Drunk Distery for lots of great theme parks content. That's it for us, guys. But as always, thanks for being Disney adults with us. Cheers.